Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Dublin bus services have been withdrawn from the Mountjoy Square area of Dublin. It's after a bus driver was threatened by a man holding what appeared to be a gun. And SIPTU has now instructed its member drivers to withdraw some services until the trade union representatives meet with management to try and agree actions to, well, basically just improve driver safety. Suzanne Armstrong is with me on the line today. Suzanne, you're a bus driver. You're part of the SIPTU Respect Transport Workers campaign. How common are incidents like this?
Hi, Andrea. Look, maybe not the gun incident, but there's antisocial behaviour all the time. Drivers are being threatened on a regular basis.
And this is something you yourself, Suzanne, have experienced?
Yeah, unfortunately I have. We've even had incidents of drivers being threatened with fire extinguishers, would you believe? Like, they'll smash it open and spray it all over drivers or anything. They'll punch the screens, try and get in at the driver. Now look, this isn't all the time, but it's a regular occurrence.
It's too frequent. It's happening. It shouldn't be happening at all, Suzanne, in the first instance.
No, and we hear reports of it all the time.
So where do you go from here?
So SIPTU have been calling for transport policing units, public transport policing units across all public transport. And that's where we're going. So the government have said that they will do it, but we haven't got it yet. It's on their agenda.
And in the meantime, that's why we're seeing the likes of some routes, some services being withdrawn from the Mountjoy Square area of Dublin following that particular incident.
Yeah, because the most important thing is driver safety and passenger safety. And if it's not safe to be in an area, we have to protect our members.
So you guys, obviously, as drivers, go back and report this, and then in the interim, the union step in and say, we can't service that particular route.
Yeah, well, obviously, the union have to have talks with management about it. But what will happen is, in an instance like that, the driver will call control, and then they will take instruction from them. And then usually the union, they'll contact their union representative as well. And it goes from there.
Yeah. Stephen Millen is with us too, Suzanne. Stephen is from SIPTU as well. Can you tell us a little bit more, Stephen, about what happened at this particular incident at Mountjoy Square?
Yeah, well, drivers would terminate there, and they have a layover period, maybe 5-10 minutes. They generally kind of make stretcher legs or sit down the bus. And in this situation, the driver was sitting down in the passenger seat. Someone tried to board. He informed the individual, look, he says, I'm not going out for another few minutes, so you'll have to go to the bus stop. The person then turned around, I believe, and presented the gun, and then threatened the driver, threatened his life. So the driver was obviously traumatised and is in a bad way and shocked about it.
And I know when guards obviously are involved and I'm sure investigating the incident. But in the meantime, you know, that driver then, I suppose, is expected to either go back to work or take some time to try and recuperate after that incident. But look, there's nothing to say it wouldn't happen again.
Yeah, well, look, in nowadays, like, you know, it's an ongoing, the number of incidents is increasing. The seriousness of the incidents is actually escalating. Like, you know, it's like... Like, you know, if you have weapons, like, you know, there could be anything, bottles, knives, anything that could be presented to a driver. The threats are there. It's constant verbal abuse. And that's why, like, as we said earlier, like, we have this transport campaign for, like, you know, that SIPTU's been running to try and set up this policing unit. Because it's important, and it's not, like, not just the buses, it's all transport networks where the seriousness of the incidents have escalated.
How would the likes of the transport police work, though?
Well, we're not fixed on one, like, you know, model for it to happen. But there needs to be uniformity. Like, we have so many different modes of transport: buses, trains, Lewis, and there's no kind of say link between them all, where someone could board a bus and cause trouble and threaten the passengers and the driver, and that individual then might be removed by the guards or by go off on their way, and then they can board a train or board a Lewis. And there's no where the transport police, they'll be looking after all modes of transport, and they would know these individuals, because unfortunately, the majority of people that travel on the public transport just want to get from A to B.
Yeah,
go places. But it's that small minority, and it seems to be the same people all the time. They need to be dealt with, because the passengers and staff, their safety is paramount.
And that's really, Suzanne, that's what you and your members are looking for.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we have to go to work feeling safe. Our members have to be able to go to work feeling safe. And the passengers have to be able to board a bus or a train or whatever it is in confidence, knowing that they're going to get from A to B safely.
Mm. Alan is on the line as well. Alan, I believe you too are a Dublin bus driver. Can you tell us about some of the things you've experienced? Is Alan with us? No, try and get Alan back maybe in a moment. I think Matt is with us on the line today. Matt, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Andrea. How are you?
Good. You're a bus inspector, is that right, in Dublin?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct, yeah.
And what have you experienced?
Andrea, can I just start off by saying I want to wish that driver a speedy recovery. It must have been a terrible ordeal for him. But that's the stage that we're getting to now with this antisocial behaviour that's going on in public transport. It is, as Stephen said there earlier, it's escalating. There's weapons being taken. It's getting out of control. Drivers are verbally abused daily. And you've gangs of youths, especially. They are using the network, the public transport network, getting from one place to another, and all they're doing is causing trouble. All they want to do is cause trouble. And people just don't feel safe on public transport. I'm sure you're a woman, and I've spoken to many, many women, and they just don't, especially at night time, they will not use public transport. They're terrified. And it's not right. It's not right. I think where the only major European city in Europe now that does not have a transport police. So, why? Is the question.
Yeah, so the time is now, we have to get it, Matt.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I suppose a lot of the texters wondering today, how will it actually work logistically? We can't have a member of the transport police on every single bus.
That's true, but what we can have is they have powers to arrest and detain these people. It's no good removing these, as Stephen said earlier, removing a passenger that's causing trouble problems from one bus and he just jumps on the next or he goes off and gets onto a Lewis. They need to be arrested, they need to be detained, and they need to be, the courts need to come down on them. And that's the only thing that will help.
And if you were to call the guards, they're obviously tied up doing other stuff, I suppose. It'll maybe take too long for them to come to every incident.
100%. But like with the transport police, at least you have a dedicated force that's out on the road, and hopefully they will react quicker.
Stephen, are you still with us? Can you tell us? I mean, I'm sure you've probably been talking or heard about the driver in this particular incident. How is he doing?
Well, look, he's obviously very shaken up. You leave your house, you're coming to work. The last thing you expect is someone to pull a gun and point in your face and threaten your life. It's not something like that. It's something that nobody, like a lot of people in their lifetime, will ever experience.
No.
How he deals with it, that is like, it's obviously affects him greatly. And look, we hope that he can come around and get back driving the wheel of a bus again, but obviously, it's going to take time.
Yeah, no question about it. And do pass on our well wishes and our regards, Stephen, from everybody listening today too. 1800 453 106, that's the number. Do you think we need transport police? Cathal is with us on the line. Cathal, you're a public transport user in Cork. What's your experience?
Well, you know, I was in Dublin over the weekend, and at least on, we'll say, the Lewis, the buses, the trains, they have a kind of security force of some kind. I'm not really sure what it's like, but in Cork, you've never had anything like that. Not at all. No.
No security at all around, no presence.
No. You wouldn't really. The driver, I suppose, is kind of responsible for the whole bus. And, you know, they have the CCTV and they have to look down the bus and they have to try and keep an eye on everything with the added pressure. You know, it's an added pressure on top of driving as well, you know. I think that's, you know, your man was probably right there. I can't remember his name. He was on there talking earlier, but a dedicated transport police probably wouldn't go too far astray. And they don't have to be on every bus, but just the threat that they might be on every third or fourth bus would keep a lot of people possibly in check.
Yeah, well, it's a deterrent, isn't it?
Deterrent, you know, and you know, this is it. If you have that threat there, then it's not going to happen. I mean, the amount of people that I've talked to that come up and ask me, you know, how often is there going to be, we'll say, someone on the train that is going to check my ticket or take my drink away from me? That isn't on the buses at the moment. Mm. And I think that something like that would make a huge difference, especially on, we'll say, a Thursday night when there's loads of students going into town, or Saturday night, something like that.
Well, we really only have the security on the Lewis, though.
Yeah, it's only really on the Lewis. I mean, as I said, I was up in Dublin the weekend, and a lot of the trains and a lot of the Lewises, they had, you know, dedicated security guards, especially the Lewis. Mm. Every second Lewis I think I've ever taken has had a security guard on it.
And it's
and
great.
You have a lot less messing. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
Now, I know that it's not a great job in terms of you're dealing with a lot of nasty people all the time, and you might only be trying to, you know, enforce tickets and that sort of thing. But it makes an awful difference. It makes public transport a lot safer, especially for, you know, people with disabilities like myself that can't really handle the whether it be loud noise or genuinely people making a ruckus, you know, smashing bottles on the floor, threatening people, that sort of thing. Just the deterrence that they could get on at the next stop might have people second-guessing themselves and whether they can do what they want.
We don't have any security on Dublin Bus at the moment. Sure we don't, Stephen. Like, it doesn't even operate sporadically.
No, we do have a small security on it, similar to the security that's on the Lewis and Irish Rail.
But was that not only a pilot programme on certain routes, though?
Yeah, the numbers are low. And look, the dedicated transport police is, and we were quoted, like I said, we went to the politicians and we put our case forward many times, and the Fianna Fáil and some of the other parties have come on board and they do recognise it. But the model we're portraying is the airport police, where they have the powers of arrest and detention. And look, and also the Gardaí are there. There is backup. They'll always be there. Like, we're not trying to say, oh, we don't need the guards. The guards are essential part of it. So with the dedicated transport police to monitor the networks for the whole country, and with support of the guards, that's the model that should be there. And there are examples all around Europe where it's working, where the number of incidents have reduced significantly, and that does happen.
Yeah. A taxpayer says, I drive for a private bus company out of Dublin Airport on a regular basis. The abuse that we get from people who are drunk getting off flights, people with no bookings, then attacking us if we have a seat or if we don't have a seat because the bus is full, it's absolutely ridiculous. This listener says, I'd never get public transport on my own. I'm far too nervous. It's such a great service otherwise, but we really do need to try and up our game. And John in Cork tells me that when we don't have an active police force out in the streets, how are we going to have transport police? It's the softly, softly approach. It doesn't work. No sanctions if somebody's underage. 087 1400 106. That's the WhatsApp number. Raymond's in Dublin. Raymond, what have you experienced on Dublin Bus?
Not Dublin Bus. I worked for public bus service. I won't mention names. Okay. I was attacked. I went through the whole thing. What needs to happen is there needs to be stronger sentences. If somebody is attacked or assaulted, that's doing their job, like a taxi man, police officer, bus driver, taxi man, whatever. There should be stronger sentences. Like, you know, like in other parts of Europe, there's signs everywhere. If you're convicted, it's 10 years in prison. Do you know what I mean? That will stop the messing. Do you know what I mean? It's stricter, you know, sentences. Do you know what I mean? For these things. Because, again, transport police is great, but they don't have it. They've been saying this for years.
So you think if we had stricter sentences, or harsher sentences, Raymond, that would actually deter people from carrying out the attack or this kind of abuse in the first place?
I worked with Bus Éireann for many years, and I some of the stuff that I've seen in Dublin City, and even not even only in Dublin City, this happens everywhere, you know. On some of the country routes and stuff like that.
Yeah, I know we're talking about Dublin Bus, but you're right, it is. It's pretty much in any of the public transport services you could see this.
I moved from the public service because I just wasn't safe, didn't feel safe. My head was wrecked. It put me in a really dark place, you know, and I'm in the private sector now. I'm a lot happier what I'm doing, better head, you know, my head is a lot better than what, you know, trying to get over the attack was one thing, but you know, the fear of going to work, my family worrying, am I going to come home? Like, who wants that in a job? So that's why there's lack of drivers, is because no one wants to work in that industry. You'll notice a lot of drivers now are guys from South Africa or from Africa or from the Eastern European, because no Irish drivers, no Irish man wants to do the job anymore because it's unsafe. There's nothing there to protect you. Do you know what I mean? As I said, I'm in the private sector now. I'm a lot happier with Collins Travel. You know, I'm working and dealing with nice people, tourists and stuff like that, doing transfers. And I'm a lot better for it in my head and in myself. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All the money in the world, it's not worth going to a job and going, look, am I going to go home and see my family tonight? I've been there, I've done it. Where, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. You know, if you're working on a night shift, you know, it can just spark off from the simplest and the smallest thing. Do you know what I mean? Dealing with some public. Not all are like that. A lot of people are lovely. A lot of people are grand. I found, you know, from my experience, a lot of people travelling, you know, on free travel, have no respect for drivers, have no respect for buses. You know, it's just, it's unsafe. And it's not...
It sounds like you know, and I think even one experience like that, Raymond, would completely change your view, and understandably so, particularly if you yourself were the victim of an attack while you were at work. I thought there was some talk at one point, Stephen, about bringing in minimum sentencing for frontline workers, but did that include the likes of public transport drivers?
I don't believe so. I know in the health service there were talks about it. Because of the antisocial behaviour in the hospitals and other areas, but no, we haven't been included in that as yet, which is appalling. Like, considering, we are in the frontline workers dealing with all aspects, and like, you know, we're there at night with 24-hour services operating. So we're there at 2, 3, and 4 in the morning. And as that chap said there, it is a hard job when you're leaving your house and you don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
Whether there's going to be threats, whether there's going to be fights in your bus, whether they're going to get missiles thrown in your bus, anything can happen, which shouldn't be the case.
No.
Just going to your work.
No, and I can understand for Raymond and other drivers then, you know, to think that you could meet this person, the same attacker, back on the bus the following day, the following week later. It's just bound to be infuriating. This listener says, when I lived in New York, a law was passed that made assaulting a bus driver or subway worker the same as assaulting a cop, a felony with a maximum of 20 years in prison. Perhaps something like this might work in Ireland. Listener says, I live in Malaga. The train here is 100 times safer than the Lewis or Dublin bus. We've security guards in the train. They wear high-vis stab vests, stab-proof vests. They carry a nightstick and handcuffs. I've never seen trouble in the train in Malaga, and maybe these guys are the reason why. It doesn't take much. Security could be a simple answer. Damien is on the line. Damien, I believe you're a former bus driver. What have you experienced?
Yes, Andrea. Well, I was beaten up a number of times, and thank God the guards were on hand on one occasion by pure chance, and they rescued me from a very difficult situation. I'd like to see a very express service for enforcing the law and getting these people into court, and heavy fines, hurt them in the pocket, any antisocial behaviour people, especially anybody would brandish a knife or worse. I saw a lot of difficulties in Belfast and very extreme circumstances for bus drivers when they had to clear a bomb off a bus or, you know, alert the authorities. So I've seen the extreme end of things. Thank God I've been lucky over the years that I drove. I didn't have anything really serious happen or any traumatic experience such as was described.
Is it a transport police then? Is that what you think, Damien, would work?
Well, on my experience, I found the guards were completely adequate, and I am so happy to see more and more on the streets of Dublin now. And I'd like to see that used as a conduit to get these people prosecuted very fast and very publicly. And the fine would be the way to do it. And inconvenience people on the bus as little as possible. Just get these people off.
Yeah.
That would be my view.
Texters, as we can't get Gardaí to police O'Connell Street or Dublin City Centre, and now we're going to invent a transport police that'll be badly managed, underfunded, under-resourced, like everything else in Ireland. Policing in Ireland is a joke, says this texter. Our policing has deteriorated so badly in the past decade, it's shocking. We actually have an Ireland policing issue. Sean in Westport says, I've travelled many cities across the world, always used public transport and never felt threatened or uncomfortable at any point. I wouldn't dream, though, of using public transport in Dublin. 087 1400 106, that's the WhatsApp number. We want to hear your experiences of using public transport. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on Newstalk.